This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa Omer, Kol Sheiras Cheto Kol Demes L'Chachmaso. Someone whose fear of sin precedes his wisdom. So Chachmaso Miskayemes, his wisdom will be preserved. V'chol Shechachmaso Kodemes L'Yiras Cheto Ein Chachmaso Miskayemes. But anyone whose wisdom precedes his fear of sin, his wisdom will not be preserved. Okay. So we already learned the Abarbanel. Last week we went into an idea of the Yiras Chet, meaning someone who's afraid of not being as perfect as he can be religiously. And that hinted to Midos Tovos, Shleimos, the perfection of a person, is his Midos Tovos. Today we'll say other ideas. The Ruach Chaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, explains the Mishnah in the following way. Yiras Cheto means that the person is constantly concerned about not sinning, and he tries to find ways of protecting himself from sin, that in case a situation comes up of temptation, he'll be able to overcome it. And also he is learning in such a way that the Torah should be an atonement for any sins that he already committed. So then his wisdom will be preserved. It'll accomplish that. But if he doesn't learn L'shem Shamayim, right, he's not learning with the intention of it saving him from sin or atoning his sin, so the learning itself will have a positive effect, even shelo lishma. First of all, it's important to learn, even if you're not learning for the sake of heaven, but you're learning to learn Torah, it's also valuable, besides the fact that eventually maybe you'll learn l'shem shamayim too. But Chazal say that halavai, that people even sinned, but they continue learning Torah because the light of Torah brings a person back. The fact that a person has a connection to Torah is itself something that is an incentive to do what's right. The Tosas Yontif says that this is connected to the Mishnah before. The Mishnah says whoever forgets something from his Torah because he doesn't review it, is a sinner. So a person who's a yiras cheto, he's afraid that if he'll learn, he'll forget. So he does everything in his power to ensure that what he learns, he'll remember. How do you do that? First thing you do is to pay attention to what you're learning and to appreciate it. When something makes an impression on you, you remember it. People remember the most incidental things in their life because they made an impression on them. They're important to them. And some of the most important things you forget because they never made an impression. So a person who his fear of sin, and here it's talking specifically about the sin of forgetting his learning. So he does whatever he can to preserve that, his learning will be preserved. He'll learn in such a way that it'll make an impression on him, and he'll review it so he won't forget it. Yes.
Does this also apply to women if they learn and forget their sinner? Or is it...
No, we said that pashtus for women, since they don't have a chiyuv, they don't have to learn, right? They're doing it voluntarily. That doesn't apply to a woman.
Okay.
And also, it probably doesn't apply to men today either. Because the Briskarov says it only applied in a time when the Torah was totally oral, the oral Torah. If you forgot it, it's gone. Today, everything's written down. You can look it up. So the same severity of forgetting doesn't exist today. Okay, the Likutei Emes says that what it means, yirascheto. They're all different meanings to what it means to be fearful of sin. And all of them are true. They're all different facets of it. He points out the idea of yirascheto is that a person is humble. Because the truth is that the beginning of all yirashamayim is knowing your place. Don't think that you're God. Don't think that you can make the decisions in your life independently. You are a servant of the Rabbanu Shalom, and you're bound to keep his framework. So yirascheto is a person recognizing his limitations. That's what shiflus is, not thinking you're a nobody. Because if you're a nobody, then you are a nobody. So why should God want a nobody to serve him? So says the Rabbeinu Yonah. The foundation of all service to God is knowing your own self-worth. Because if you think you're worthless, then why would you have an incentive to serve God? Why in the world would God want a worthless being to serve him? And you would have no incentive not to sin. Because if you think you're worthless, worthless things do worthless things. That's what you're cut out to do. In fact, it tells the Rosh Yeshiva says that when we say vidui, all the terrible things that we did, or shamnu, bogadnu, we end and we say, avarnu al mitzvosecho mishpatecha tovim, we've transgressed your good and just laws, the lo shavalanu. So the simple meaning, lo shavalanu, means like we say in Hebrew, lo shaveh, wasn't worth it. We thought we'd gain tremendous things by doing these sins, and we didn't really gain too much from it. But he says it means something else. Lo shava lanu, he said in Yiddish, means is nishva mir zugepasst. Means it's not befitting me. I did all these things, but that's not me. I'm capable of doing a lot better. Because if you think you're not capable of doing better, then what are you confessing? That's you. But if you know that you're capable of doing better and you didn't live up to your potential, then there's something to confess. So yirascheit over here means the foundation of fear of God is knowing your place, knowing makiris makoma. You know who you are, what you are, what you're not, right? And therefore, if you understand your limitations, you can appreciate who God is. The whole purpose of learning Torah is to get to know God, because Torah is God's mind. So when you learn Torah, you get to know the Ribbono Shel Olam. But you can't get to know God if you think that you're as good as him. What do you need to know him? So in order to know the Ribbono Shel Olam, you first have to know who you are not, and then you can know who he is. So that's called sheyirascheto kodemes lechachmaso. If your fear of heaven, meaning your understanding of your limitations, precedes your wisdom, then the wisdom will be preserved, because then you'll be able to know God's Torah. But if you think that you're just as great, what do you have to know God for? So then the learning will not be preserved. Also, the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham that doesn't have Yerushalayim, so the Torah becomes like a poison for him. The Torah is like a sam. It's like either a medicine or a poison. The Vilna Gaon explains what that means. He says Torah is like water. If you water weeds, you get more weeds. If you water very fine plants, you get fine plants. Depends what the person is. A person who has Yerushalayim, the Torah is going to promote that, bring it out, and make him a better person. A person who has no Yerushalayim, so the Torah is going to promote what he is. So if you water weeds, you get more weeds. So therefore, only a person whose Yerushalayim precedes his learning, the learning is going to be positive. If you don't have any Yerushalayim, right, you're learning Torah and you have not perfected or not even worked on your character, and you have no Yerushalayim, you're not interested in fulfilling what you're learning, so the learning itself is not called learning. It won't be preserved. Okay. The Maseches Atzilus says that a person can learn, but whether he really comes to the proper conclusion of his learning, which is called Asuke Shmaisa Liba de Hilchasa, that you're able to come and know what the halacha is. A person learns, there's a lot of facts, a lot of things that contradict each other, and to really know how to learn and to come out with the final halacha, what is right over here? What's the bottom line? You need siyata dishmaya. For that you need heavenly help. It doesn't happen by itself. And we see that there are certain people who have that power, and usually they are very special people. Poskim. People who can paskin halacha, who are known, right, throughout the generations. Right, or Moshe Feinstein in America, or Rav Eli Yoshev, or whatever. They were special people. Because the Rabbanu Shalom gives them that special gift. And not everybody who learns is able to reach that final decision, because you need heavenly help. So someone who learns and his fear of heaven precedes his interest in learning, but he wants to learn because he's a person who fears heaven, so then he'll get that heavenly help and his learning will be preserved, meaning not that he'll remember it, but it'll reach its pinnacle, it'll reach its conclusion. And somebody without that, it's not going to reach the conclusion. He's going to remain pretty much in the dark with a lot of facts, but not be able really to put his finger on what the final idea of it all is. Okay. The Chelek Yaakov says that Yiras Cheto, Kodem L'Chochmoso, here Chochmoso is going on secular wisdom. And he means like this. Yiras Chet is talking about Torah wisdom. And then there's also an idea of learning secular wisdom. The Vilna Gaon says that the secular knowledge, the true secular knowledges, math, real science, and so on, right, the natural sciences are important to Torah, because they are like the handmaidens of Torah knowledge. For instance, you learn the Gemara in Sukkah, right? So it speaks there about the dimensions of a sukkah or whatever. If you don't know math, you're not going to be able to learn those sugyas. Other things also. There are other wisdoms that if you don't know them, you're not going to be able to learn Torah, because you need those tools to understand that area of Torah. So, but that's only a tool. That's not the wisdom itself. It's a tool to know Torah wisdom. So if your Yiras Chet, which he explains means Torah learning, precedes your learning of secular wisdom, so you have the main thing, and then you need the secular wisdom to support your Torah learning. Not support it financially, but support it because you need those tools. Then it'll be preserved. Then the secular wisdom will have a purpose. But if it's more important to you to learn the secular wisdom and not to learn Torah, not to use it as a tool, but to use it as a end in itself, then it's not going to be preserved. The Rabbeinu Yonah learns simply that your intention in learning is to prevent yourself from sinning in one or two ways. If you don't know what's right and what's wrong, it's impossible not to sin. Somebody who doesn't learn Hilchas Shabbos is impossible. They shouldn't be Mechalel Shabbos. Right? They can think they're not Mechalel Shabbos. But all they know about Shabbos is, we don't drive, we don't turn on the lights on Shabbos. That's Shabbos. So a person could think he's a tzaddik. I never drove, I never turned on any lights. But he never learned anything about the 39 malachas. It's impossible he shouldn't be Mechalel Shabbos. So if your learning is to get information so you won't sin, you'll know what's wrong, you know what's right. But there's more to it. It's not just to know what's wrong and right. But the Torah itself, the learning of Torah, is a protection. It gives you the incentive to want to do what's right also. People who are immersed in learning Torah, hopefully it's going to make an impression that they're not want to sin. Sin comes from two combinations. One is not knowing what's wrong and what's right. If you know what's wrong and what's right, you'll be able to do what's right and not do what's wrong. But there's a second thing. You can know what's right and what's wrong, but you're not able to control yourself. The Torah gives a person control. Gives them, to a certain degree, if you learn it properly, it gives you a certain amount of self-control and what's the word I'm looking for? Discipline. That's the word. Thank you. Okay. Another idea, the Medrash Shmuel says that a person first is chozer b'tshuva, and then he learns Torah. So the Torah is learned with a certain kind of purity. Okay. He says that Yerushalayim, a nice marshal, Yerushalayim, the wisdom is pearls. You learn something, each bit of wisdom is like a pearl. But the Yerushalayim is like the string that holds the pearls together. Because if you break that string, you lose all the pearls. So if you have that string that ties them together, that gives them preservation, then the wisdom will be able to be preserved. But if you don't have that Yerushalayim, then those pearls are not going to be things that you're going to be able to hold on to. Okay. Another idea of Yerushalayim, the Derech Chaim says, is a person recognizes his weakness. Ein Tzadik Baris, there's no human being who's perfect. So a person knows that he is capable of sinning. When you anticipate your shortcomings, you're able to overcome them. But if you don't anticipate them, and you think that you're invincible, then inevitably, as soon as the first test comes along, you're going to fail. The Shurei Das, the Telzer Rosh Hashiva, explains this idea to be relevant to the following Chazal, which most people learn differently. It says that tzadikim omrim ma'at va'osim harbe. The nature of a tzadik is to say little and to do a lot. The opposite of politicians. And the nature of Rishoyim is omrim harbe. They promise you the world and they don't do anything. So he says most people learn because Rishoyim are liars. They promise you the world. They don't intend to do anything. They just promise you. They just say a lot. And a tzaddik, his nature is not to promise a lot, but he does a lot. He says it means something different. It's not that these people are wicked in so far that they are trying to fool you. No. He says the Rasha would also love to do a lot. And he promises you a lot. Except he doesn't realize how vulnerable he is. So he thinks he can do anything. He doesn't take his Yetzer Hara into consideration. So therefore, if you don't anticipate that there could be problems and that you could be beset with tests that you can't overcome, so as soon as the smallest thing comes, it'll stop you from doing what you want to do. Because you haven't anticipated it. You're not prepared to overcome any obstacles. The tzaddik knows his limitations. He knows that people are very vulnerable and they can have obstacles that can prevent them from doing what they want to do. So they don't promise you the world, because they are aware that there may be obstacles in the way. They have a Yetzer Hara. Maybe the Yetzer Hara will get in the way. So they don't promise you a lot. But because they anticipate the problem, they're able to overcome it. He says that's the meaning of the following Gemara. The Gemara says that in the future, God is going to shech the Yetzer Hara. Meaning, not just going to slaughter it with a knife. It means shechita, you have an animal, it's the purpose of that animal is to serve human beings. One of the things is to be food. So the animal reaches its purpose when it's shechted. So there'll come a time when the Yetzer Hara will no longer be necessary. Right? Mashiach will come, the world to come will come. People won't have any more free choice. They'll be getting the world of reward. So the Yetzer Hara will be shechted, meaning it'll reach its purpose. Won't be needed anymore. And the tzaddikim and rishayim will witness this. To the tzaddikim, the Yetzer Hara will appear like a tremendous mountain. And they'll cry, how did we conquer this mountain? To the rishayim, the Yetzer Hara will look like a hair's breadth. And they'll also cry, how did we not conquer this hair's breadth? He says, based on what he said, this is the meaning. The tzaddikim always anticipated the fact that they could be beset with problems, with obstacles, and because they considered it and they understood that it was a possibility, they were able to overcome it. So the Yetzer Hara, they overcame this obstacle, and then this one, it came a big mountain. And they overcame the whole thing. So they cry out of joy, how do we were able to accomplish this and overcome all these obstacles that became like a mountain? The Rasha never anticipated any problems. He felt he's invincible. He could do anything. So the first little problem came along, first obstacle, and he tripped over it. So he never got past that first hair's breadth. For him, the Yetzer Hara was a hair's breadth. He never saw anything more. Every little obstacle, that finished him off. Once one would explain a pasuk in the Torah that everybody explains differently. Because the question's a good question. The question is, what's the answer? Torah says somebody wants to keep Shemitah. Okay? But he has a problem. Because if he doesn't plant in the seventh year, what's he going to eat in the eighth or ninth year? He didn't plant anything. He's going to have to plant after the eighth year. He's not going to be able to harvest till the ninth year. What's he going to eat in those years in between? So if you ask, what am I going to eat in the eighth and ninth year? If I'm not allowed to plant and plow my field in the seventh year, God says, don't worry. I'll give you a bracha. In the sixth year, it'll produce enough crop for 3 years. A miracle happened. And then you don't have to worry. So everybody asks, what if you don't ask any questions? If you have perfect faith, you don't ask any questions, what am I going to eat? You keep Shemitah, and you keep it with perfect faith without asking any questions. So they're all different answers. One answer, for instance, is you won't have 3 years of crop in the sixth year. You'll have 1 year. But it'll last for 3 years. You'll eat a little bit, and you'll be full. Why is that a bigger bracha? Simply, you don't have to do as much work. If you have 3 years of crops, you have to work three times as hard. If it's 1 year of crop, you don't have to work that as hard, and it'll last for 3 years. Okay, there's other reasons why. I was thinking of an answer based on somebody gave me this idea years ago. If you ask, that means that you understand there's a problem. And despite the problem, you're willing to keep Shemitah. Then you deserve a bracha. But if you don't ask, that means you don't even know there's a problem. You don't anticipate anything. So you're no big deal of keeping Shemitah. You don't think there's any problem. So why shouldn't you keep Shemitah? So you don't deserve any bracha. Right? People, boys, girls that I teach, sometimes come, my talmidim when we had a yeshiva, they would come and they wanted to know, am I ready to start going out, to get married? What do you think? So I would say to them, you know, if you get married, you have to support a wife and a family, right? How do you plan to do that, right? Especially if you plan to sit and learn, right? So he would tell me, yeah, I understand that, but my wife can work part-time, and I can get a tutoring job, and I'll get paid from the kollel, and we'll, the money that we put together, we'll live at a what's it called, on a low, modest level, and we'll survive. Somebody like that, I tell them, barring any other things, you're ready to get married. Some of them would say, no, I, what's it called, have emunah, God will take care. Right? That means he doesn't recognize the problem. Right? Yeah, fine. You tell me that there's a problem, and I'm going to do my ishtadlus, and the Rabbanu Shlomo will be, make sure I'm matzliach, that's fine. But if you don't think there's a problem, then you're still an idiot. So you're not ready to get married yet. Right? When you're ready to know there's a problem, and you'll have emun and bitachon, that despite the problem, you have a plan, and with the help of the Rabbanu Shlomo, it'll work, then you're ready. So somebody who doesn't anticipate any problems and thinks they're invincible, in the end, is not going to be okay. So somebody who's a Yirei Chet, that's what he says, that he knows that people are vulnerable and they're prone to sin, and he thinks of ways to protect himself, that person's wisdom will be preserved. But somebody thinks there's no problems, and he thinks that he can do anything. So his wisdom is not going to lead him to anything good. Okay. Another idea is, the Zera Yitzchak says, that Yiras Chet means that he's learning in order to do. In other words, if people can learn, and they can learn just theoretically, but they're not interested in fulfilling what they're learning. So somebody who learns like that doesn't have Yiras Chet. He's not interested in fulfilling what he's learning. He just wants to learn it for mental gymnastics, for theory. And then that, it says, better a person shouldn't learn than learn and not fulfill what he's doing. But somebody whose intention to learn is because I want to do, and I have to know what to do. So his intention of doing precedes his learning, that learning is going to be preserved. Another idea, also talking about secular wisdom, the Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael himself was very grounded in secular wisdom. So he has a right to talk. He says somebody that his Yiras Chet is more important than his secular wisdom. Meaning the following. He likes to learn other things. And that, again, could be very positive. But he doesn't learn things that may lead him astray. Because he's more concerned about being Yirei Shamayim than knowing information that may be damaging to him. So a person like that, what he learns will be preserved. But a person who says, I want to learn everything, and I don't really care if it pulls me astray, learning false philosophies or things that are that could pull a person. It's one of the problems with the internet. People are exposed to so many things, and some things it's not good to be exposed to. You know, people say they want their children to be open-minded, but if you're too open-minded, your brains fall out. it's not good to know everything. There's certain things I don't have to know. What's it called? How to be a cannibal and how to eat people, right? It's not necessary. Right? If I'm going to go and live amongst cannibals, good idea to know about them. But if you're never going to come in contact with a cannibal, what do you have to know that for? It just fills your mind with thoughts that can't be positive. And obviously it applies to a lot of other things, right, which especially teenagers can't handle. So it pulls them. It's learning things that are apikorsis, questions on religion that greater minds than them have dealt with, have still remained from. So there are answers, but not for a teenager. So you fill your head with all these questions, right? But I want to know a knowledge. Knowledge is important. I just want to know everything. So if your fear of sin precedes your desire to know, And therefore, you're willing to limit your knowledge to those things that will be positive. And you don't want to know the things that'll bring you to negative. Then your wisdom will be a good wisdom. But if your desire to know comes before your desire to do what's right. So I want to know everything, even if it'll schlep me to areas that are going to make me depraved or whatever. Right? Then that wisdom is not going to be preserved. That's not wisdom anymore. And that's one of the big problems talking with the internet. Okay, next. Another idea is Yirascheto means I'm learning l'shem shamayim, meaning I'm not learning for honor or for monetary gain. I'm learning for the sake of learning. If that's your intention, the learning will be preserved. If your intention is to use the learning as a means to get honor, to get money, or whatever, it's not going to be preserved in the end. Another idea is Yirascheto means that when you learn, you realize that your knowledge or your mental capabilities are not all-powerful. And therefore, you're willing to subjugate your mental powers to God's knowledge. In other words, if I have questions on what I'm learning, I'm going to assume that maybe I'm not the one who understands, not that something's wrong with what God said. Okay? So if your fear of sin, meaning your understanding that you are not all knowledgeable, and therefore if something doesn't make sense to you, it's the problem is with the thing you're learning, which if you're learning Torah, the problem's with the Torah, but maybe the problem's with you. Maybe you don't understand.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.